We're glad to be here with you tonight. It's a real privilege to be with you. And been talking to the Lord a little bit today about things. God is wonderful. He's so wonderful. I think most of you are aware that there's a great, mighty thing that's taking place in the earth today. There's something that is taking place today that has never taken place in the world before. And everything is on the verge of a great change. We're living at a time when there is a great change. People are undergoing a great change. And we've seen for quite a number of years now a lot of confusion. People changing always causes a lot of confusion. There's been the old highways, little pig trails up and down the mountains for numbers of years, and then they changed. And then super highways begin to come in. And during the time of the change, a lot of people was confused. You could start off somewhere and wind up where you didn't want to go. Always detours, always something that was causing a change. Everywhere there is a change. People are undergoing a change. And they just about come through the change to the extent that a lot of the detours now are there no more and the superhighways are there. All of these things are symbolic. They are typical. They represent something. And the thing that they represent is a spiritual thing. They have great spiritual value, spiritual significance. We that are spiritual judge those things. The Bible said, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he is judged of no one himself, because no one can judge him, because he is saved by the grace of God and sealed by the Holy Spirit." So then things are undergoing a great change. And we're almost to the place to where that change is completed. And the ultimatum of that change is the church. The ultimatum of that change is the church. When everything natural has finished its change and its transitional moving, then all of a sudden, there comes forth the change of the church. And now, the church cannot go into its change until everything else has thoroughly made its change. And when everything else has thoroughly made its change, that is everything in the natural, then the spiritual transition of the church starts. And from glory to glory, the Bible said, we're changed. Now, we've been going through the glory to glory for many years. But the glory to glory change, we're changed from glory to glory. As beholding with open face in a glass, we are looking and we are seeing and we're beholding Christ. And the Bible tells us that we're changed into that very glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everybody. Everybody is making a change. Everybody is going through a change. But not everybody is being changed into the image of the Son of God. There's only one that's heir to the glory of God. That's Jesus. You know, a lot of times we don't understand that. But that's the only one. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because the Bible tells us that He alone was made heir to the glory of God. So then if you don't have Him, you're not heir to the glory. Because the Bible said, not unto seeds as of many, but unto seeds as of one, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, we see that in the first move of God, God brought Noah and his family over. That was all. The entire world, so far as humanity is concerned, was destroyed. Nobody but Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God took him over through that terrible, terrible thing. A great, mighty thing took place. And then later, in the Sodom and Gomorrah thing, we see that as the change took place, There was only four people. Notice that in the first part of it, there was eight people. But then when he made his next great move, there was only half that many. There was just half that many saved. Just eight to begin with, and then when he made his great move again, there was only half that many. Only four. And then the next great move he makes as he crosses the Jordan to take the children into Canaan land, if you'll notice, on that move, there was only half that many. He started with eight. The next move wasn't before, just half that many. And then the next move he made was only two, just half that many. And then the next great move he made was when Jesus come and died at Calvary. And when Jesus died at Calvary, he cut it in halves again, and it was just half that many. And there was only one that made it. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one out of all of Moses' followers, out of all of them that was tutored under the law, out of the hundreds and thousands of people, only one became heir to the glory of God. And tonight, folks, he's your hope of glory. He was the only one that made it. Now then, if you can have him in your heart, you can have heaven. If you can be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, if you can be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, then you can make it. Because he alone made it. Even appearing on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared, great and mighty prophets, never been greater. And when they said something about building three tabernacles, he said, just one. One. Moses didn't make it. Elijah didn't make it, though they were ever so great. None greater among men than John, but John didn't make it. So he said, not Moses and Elijah. He said, just one. He said, this is the tabernacle that I'm pleased to dwell in. Even God, in his fullness, the great Holy Spirit, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great light, God himself, the Holy Spirit, he said, this is the tabernacle that I am pleased to dwell in. Offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but he said, a body that has prepared me. Offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but a body that has prepared me. And tonight, we are the body, members in particular, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of that body, even the church. And we are the membership of that body. And he had prepared himself a body that he might dwell in that body. And if any man deny that Christ is dwelling in the human body, or that God has come in the flesh, that man is anti to the teachings of God. He is Antichrist. So then, this is the good thought. We get afraid a lot of times that we can't have the blessings of God. And we get afraid. We say, God's glory he will not give to another. We get afraid and we say, don't say too much about that preacher. Don't say too much about that man. Because if you do, you'll give him God's glory. And then you'll get God all upset. Because God won't give his glory to another. But folks, I have the glory of God tonight. Do you have the glory of God? I have the glory of God tonight. He gave it to me. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe you can take the glory of God, and I don't believe that God will give it to another. But you see, I'm not another. I'm bone of his bone, and I'm flesh of his flesh. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ. And the life I live by the Son of God. And it's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within me. So then Jesus said concerning these, Father, glorify these with the same glory that I had with thee before the world ever was. Give them my glory. So then tonight we have the wonderful glory of God. And I just said that tonight because something that I'm wanting to read here, I hope you can I hope you can get a hold of it. St. John in the 10th chapter, in the 27th verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answering them, many good works have I shewed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me, believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him. Now, I'd like to emphasize this one scripture. The 34th verse, and Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. Would you stand with me for just a few minutes now? I want to pray with you. I'd like for you to lift up your hands tonight. Just lift up your hands with me tonight, if you will, and I want to pray with you. Father God of heaven, we've read your word tonight, and we ask you to add your blessings to it. Father, may this wonderful congregation that's gathered here tonight hear the word of God. Lord, they've come for none other reason than to hear from heaven and to hear the word of God. So then I ask you in the lovely name of your holy child Jesus, Father, forgive their sins, Father. And Father, forgive my sins. And dear Father, we know that in thy Son there is no sin. Therefore, in his holy name, we ask this blessing. We ask the forgiveness of sins, and we ask that you heal us, God, that you touch us. Father, may there be healing under the tent tonight, and may there be blessings under the tent tonight. May the great hand of God go out tonight, and may things be said and things be done that will bring the blessings of God upon these people. Reveal the hearts of the people. Reveal the minds of the people. God, reveal to them your lovely mind. God, that we may all dwell together in unity. To come together in one mind, even the mind of Christ, in one accord, even to do the will of God, even as they were on the day of Pentecost, that the great Spirit of God may come in the midst of us. I ask you to do it in Jesus' lovely name and for his glory. Amen. You can be seated. Now, as I said, we come tonight for none other reason than to worship the Lord and to serve the Lord. There is a change that is taking place. And this change, it has to do with me. And it has to do with you. That's why we're here tonight in this place. That's why we've come here to this little area here. Don't know where we'll be here 2 or 3 days or whatever. But that's why we came here. Not just to set a tent, to build a meeting and spend days here. It hasn't been our way in life to do that. It's just been our way in life to be led of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes a day or two in a tent meeting that might take days to set up and weeks to set up. And then sometimes we might stay a week, might stay 10 days, might stay longer. But ever how the Lord leads us, that's the way we go. And that's what we try to do. And being in this area, we've come in here by the leadership of the Lord. We've come by faith in God, and we've come here to try to talk to you about Jesus, to share with you the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the preeminent thing. The one thing that you want to get is the wisdom of God. Solomon said, get wisdom. Well, wisdom is the chief thing. No matter what comes to you, no matter what happens, the chief thing is wisdom. You must get wisdom from God. You have a foundation of the most precious thing there is, and that's charity. Charity that excelleth all. Charity, the foundation. We built our heart and life upon charity. Everything that we've done, we've tried to found it upon charity, because charity is the thing that we need for the foundation of our salvation. We're born of charity. But then when we get charity into our heart, the first thing we need to know is wisdom. We need to get wisdom that we might be able to understand God and understand the ways of God. And we need wisdom that we might be able to follow after God so that we can do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Without wisdom, you cannot do anything for God. You run as one that beateth the air. And the Bible speaks of the Jews, how that they perished because of the lack of knowledge. And the Bible said, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Did you know that in the denominational world today, in the religious world today, did you know that the zeal that they have has literally eaten God up? With their zeal for ball games and their zeal for frolic, and the zeal that they have to do things and to mix things in the church and to draw people, the zeal that they have, the programs that they have literally eaten God up. That they have eaten up the Spirit of God. They have done so many things until God is programmed without the church. And as it is said in the Songs of Solomon and the writings of Solomon, he's standing at the heart's door. And there he is knocking, and there he's asking for them to let him in. And the Bible said the drops of the night, they're in his locks. And he's standing there, and he's tapping on the door. Jesus knocking at the heart's door, the drops of the night in his locks. And he's saying, open unto me, and if you will open unto me, I will come in, and I will sup with you, and you shall sup with me, if you will open the door unto me. But see, we're living in this dark night of intellectual reasoning. This is a dark world. The Bible said, in gross darkness shall cover the people. Though we see the sunshine come up, the day star dawns, yet the night is still upon us. The darkness is still here. This is a great educational age. This is a great scientific age. Paul said science, falsely so called. He didn't believe in that kind of science. He said it's falsely so called. But this is the great learned age. This is the great age of science, and darkness is upon the people. The people are literally covered up with darkness. They don't know who they are. They can't tell the difference. You know, it's a time of twilight. It's moving into the dark, deep darkness. And there's a time of twilight. It's where they've tried to mix darkness with light. And it is a changing time. It is a changing age. It's like a woman that goes through the change. It's a very dangerous time when the woman goes through her change of life. She represents the church. And as she goes through her change of life, it's a very dangerous time, because she has been made to travail and bear children. She has been made to afford family life, to where God can multiply and replenish the earth. And all of a sudden, she's changing from that to not, she's changing to travail no more. She's changing from her way of life, and she's fixing to go through a change of life. She's not going to travail anymore. She's not going to bring forth children anymore. The Bible said when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and her daughters. And you look back at the church just a few years back. There when Zion was travailing, there were sons and daughters born into the kingdom of God. There were saints of God around the altar that would pray for hours. It didn't make any difference. They didn't tire. They didn't weary. They would get right there and they would pray for hours. But even in revivals, they don't do that anymore.
Even in revivals, they don't travail anymore. Zion isn't travailing anymore. There was a time when Zion travailed. She fasted. She prayed. She brought forth her children. But see, the great change has come in. There's a great thing that's sweeping over the church. There's a complacency that's come in. See, the woman is tired. She's growing weary. She doesn't want to travail anymore. She doesn't want to have children anymore. Look around you. Even the young girls, the young women that are marrying, they don't want children anymore. If they have a child, they just want a boy and a girl, and that's all they want. Though God said multiply, replenish the earth, all they want is a boy and a girl. Why? Because there's so much problem, there's so much heartaches. People don't want children in the world anymore. There's nothing but problems. They can't handle the teenagers. They're driving the parents wild. They're driving them out of their minds. Are you listening to me? And so then, they don't want that anymore. They don't want that. People that have children, the Bible said, woe unto them in that day that give suck. Woe unto them, because it is a hard time. It is a sad time. It is a bad time. There's hundreds of thousands every year that wander off from home, boys and girls. They've gotten away from home. They wandered off from home. Hundreds of thousands of them. I heard the statistics a few days ago. And they're wandering off from home. And mothers doesn't know where they're at. Fathers doesn't know where the children's at. The girls are molested. They are like dogs anymore. You go out here in the areas of Memphis, or you go around Atlanta, Georgia, or even a little place like Olive Branch. I was down there the other night at the Sonic place down there. And they're like dogs. The girls are like dogs. I saw a boy stand there and a young, beautiful little girl standing there. And he kept hitting her and really hurt her. And she kept picking at him. She was wanting his affection. And he acted like a big something, you know, and slapping her around and hurting her. And if it hadn't been for the fact that she had no business being out there and dressed like she was dressed, I'd have told him off in a minute. But there was a whole string of them there doing the girls that way. See, it's the day that we're living in. It's the age that we're living in. It's the teenagers. I preached some this morning. I made the statement this morning. Young boys and girls, you're different. You that love God, you that are called for God's purpose, you're different from them people out there. You folks that love God, you're different from them people. You are different from them people. You say, in what way, Brother Pike? You are children of God. Those are beasts, and even brood beasts, made to be taken and burned. Some of them are brutal. They're brute beasts. But you young girls and boys that are called for God, I made the statement this morning, don't go out there and give yourself to that. Whatever you do, don't do that. Don't go out there and use your body for that. The Bible said the body is the Lord. You should glorify the Lord in your body. See, that's the temple of God. Don't go out there and give yourself to that. Don't do that. Be a real lady. You young men, don't go out there and try to be like the beatniks and the people of this world, the rock and rolls and this kind of thing. Don't you know that God abhors that thing? Don't go get in the church and try to whip up the guitar and the organs and the piano to get the worldly spirit into the church. Don't do that. That's abomination in the sight of God. See, God doesn't want you to do that. How do you understand what I'm saying? God's got His Spirit. God wants you anointed of His Spirit. He doesn't want you anointed of that thing out there. We're not trying to get a church full of people. Don't you know that if I wanted to tonight, I could have so many people on these grounds that you couldn't get them in under this tent. And that's no exaggeration. I know how to do it. I've had the chance to do it. But that isn't what God's wanting. It is true that God's wanting us to preach the gospel to every creature, whereas we're doing our very best to do that. But see, that's not what God's wanting. God has brought us to a certain age now. And like Ruth, He's brought in a gleaning. He's brought in a gleaning. He swept over the fields. And He's trying to bring the ministers together. And He's trying to bring the saints of God together. He cannot come back till He brings the saints of God together. It doesn't matter how great a revival He has. That doesn't have anything to do with it. God, before He can return, He's got to have the saints of God together. And He's trying His best to get the saints of God together. He's trying to get you in one mind and one accord. The saints of God are split up like splinters all over the world. Everywhere they're split up. Did you know, I don't know of one movement. I don't know of one movement that isn't split all to pieces. Did you know that even communists, as great a move as communists is. I was over in Sweden not too long ago. And I was talking with some communists. And this young communist fellow, I was reproving him because there was a girl and a boy living together there. They wasn't married, and I reproved him over it. And I said something about it. And did you know that this communist boy, he said, while we and the elderly communists, we don't get along. Said there's a difference between the younger communists and the older communists. Said there's a difference between them. Even they're split up. All of them are split up. Every evangelistic association that I know of is split up. I was in Indiana having a tent meeting not too long ago. And we was having a great tent meeting that swept all over Kentucky, all through Indiana. And there we was having a great tent meeting. And I found out while I was there that the William Branham Association had split up. There was a man that came up to me while I was there and he said, "Brother Pike, I need some help." Said, "I need some advice." I said, "What kind of advice do you need?" He said, "Well, for years I've always paid my tithes there at the tabernacle. There at the William Branham Tabernacle in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Now, this is a ministry that covered the world." He said, "I've always paid it there." He said, "But now all of a sudden there's a split between the Evangelistic Association and the tabernacle." And he said, "Now I'm confused and I don't know where to pay my tithes. I don't know what to do about it." He said, "What should I do about it?" See, everywhere you go, the Assemblies of God are split up. The Church of God is split up. The Baptists are split up. The Methodists are split up. Even the Catholics are split up. As strong as the Catholics is, I read an article just a day or two ago, and the Pope was real disturbed. And the Pope made the statement that what he wanted to do was to stop some of these non-denominational works and some of these small groups that are denominal works. Said that he felt the big operations was the sisters of the Catholic Church. But all these smaller ones, he felt like that they were turning people away from the Catholic Church and was drawing some people away from the Catholic Church. And he was real upset about it. Now, split up, there's a change. There's a dividing time. That's why we're here today in Mississippi. The word Mississippi means Father of Great Waters. It's a great thing here that's happening. When Jesus returns to the Mount of Olives, he'll set his foot upon the Mount of Olives and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in half. And see, we're at the cleaving point. We're at the cleaving time. God is saying, "Come out from among them, be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things and I will receive you," saith the Lord. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then we had a great cleaving time, a great dividing time. God is dividing the people. He's trying to call the true Christian people out of those things. Saying, "Come out of her. Be your separate people. Touch not the unclean things. And I will receive you," saith the Lord. So then God is calling you out. He's trying to get you out of the world. Young boys and girls, don't give your body to the devil. Don't you do it. I said this morning, look for you a real God husband, you young ladies. Look for a God husband. Look for a real God woman, you young men. Because if you don't, you're going to marry something and you're going to wind up with something. When you get real acquainted with it, all of a sudden you're going to realize that body, that little body is nothing more than a cage. And in that cage, you've got a devil. In that cage, you've got a snake. And as you go on through life, you're going to find that this is the worst mistake you ever made in your life. That you bound yourself to a devil. The Bible said we're not to bind darkness to light. And God doesn't unite darkness to light. He tells us to marry in the Lord. Paul said for us to marry in the Lord. We're not to go out into the world. We're not to go out there. The trouble that Balaam had. Balaam encouraged the marriage, the interwoven thing of the people of Balaam with the people of God and got God upset because of the idolatry and God slayed thousands of them because of that. See, God doesn't want that. He doesn't want you interwoven with the things out there in the world. He doesn't want you to get to a place to where it's a twilight sort of a thing, to where you can't tell the difference between the church and the difference between the world. God wants a definite, distinct thing between you and the world. You're God's people. We're not just some fly by night. We're God's people. We're not just plain human beings. Listen at me. I said this morning. I want to repeat it tonight. I get so weary as I travel around the different parts of the nation and the world. And I hear every time God goes to use somebody in the gospel, I hear a bunch of preachers get up say, "Don't follow a man. Don't follow a man. Don't follow a man." And they spend their ministry with such foolishness, hollering out, "Don't follow a man." But the same preacher will never get up and say, "Leave that football player alone. Leave that baseball player alone. Leave those alone that's out in the world." He won't do that. He'll tune in on the TV. He'll tune in on the radio. He'll run down to the local game. But every time God raises up a leader, every time God raises up a God man, every time God brings something on the scene that might stir the people, then they start beating it down. That bunch of devils call themselves preachers. And of course, there's some people involved in that really are preachers. It's just babes in Christ that don't know any better. And they start beating the thing down. Let me tell you something, folks. I read to you in the scripture tonight to where God said, "Ye are gods." That's a difference between you and those people out yonder. Those people out yonder are creatures of darkness. You are creatures of light. Those people out yonder are human beings. You're gods. You say, "What is a god, Brother Pike?" Something that can't die. The Bible said we pass from death unto life. We shall never come into condemnation. We pass from death unto life. You understand what I'm saying? We are gods. The Bible said ye shall die like men because you don't understand, because you don't have the knowledge that you need to have. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, but he died like a man. He died because he had to die so that I wouldn't have to die. You understand what I'm saying? So then we are gods. We're not supposed to die. It is not God's will for us to die, folks. You know, a lot of people, they cherish the thought of dying just like death was God's right-hand man. But God doesn't want you to die. God has never wanted you to die. It is not God's will for you to die. It is not God's will for you to be sick. It is not God's will for you to be in poverty. God doesn't want you to die. Jesus died so that you wouldn't have to die. Sin is in the world because of lust. Eve looked. She saw the tree and she lusted. And that's in the world today because of lust. And death is in the world today because of sin. But Jesus came to take away your sins. In him there is no sin. He came to lift the curse. He came so that you wouldn't have to be under the curse. He doesn't want you to be under the curse. God loves you tonight. God wants you alive tonight. David said, "I can't praise thee from the grave, God. I can't praise thee from the grave." So then God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to live. He wants you to live. What is a God? A God is something that lives. A God is something that was in the other generation. A God is something that's in this generation. A God is something that'll be in the next generation. He doesn't die. He doesn't die. The God doesn't die. See, what is it like being a God? Are we really gods? Brother Pike, are you really telling me that I am a God? Are we really gods? God doesn't want you to die. Did you know that God not only doesn't want you to die, but he doesn't want you to sleep either? There's a difference between death and sleep. He doesn't want you to sleep either. If you are a God, you cannot die. Are you listening? If you are a God, you cannot die. If you are a God, you cannot die. Did you know there's never been the death of a God? Never been the death of a God. Not a real God. There's never been the death of a God. Someone would say, Brother Pike, if we are gods and you say that we can't die, why do they keep putting folks in the grave? You say, I know that them people are Christians. I know that them people love God. And you say that we're God. How is it that you say that? Why do they keep putting them in the grave? Aren't they dying? No, not Christians. See, the Bible said we are not as those that die in that kind of condition without a hope. We've got a hope toward the resurrection. See, we're not as those being bereaved of our loved ones, as one that doesn't have any hope for the future. When they put their loved ones in the ground, they don't have any hope. They sorrow. We do not sorrow as they sorrow. We sorrow as to the loss of the fellowship, but not as to an eternal loss. They sorrow as to an eternal loss because they don't believe in anything else. But folks, we believe in God. When we place our loved ones in the grave, if they're Christians, we've got great hope. We don't sorrow as they sorrow. You understand what I'm saying? So then tonight, you're gods. Ye are gods. But you die like men from the lack of knowledge and understanding. What is the difference, Brother Pye, between dying and sleeping? Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus one time. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. I go to awake him. See, they didn't understand. They didn't understand. Martha, she said, Lord, my brother's dead. If you'd have been here, he said he wouldn't have died. Mary followed in the same way. And Jesus said, well, it's okay. He's going to live again. She said, I know that he'll live again in the resurrection. Now, isn't that the way the church is? Come on, folks. That's the way the church is. I know, Master, that he'll live again in the resurrection. I know that. We're taught that. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. Hallelujah. He said, look, you got your eyes in the wrong direction, he could have said. I'm the resurrection. What do you mean he's going to live later? What do you mean that we're going to wait for the resurrection? Jesus could have said, where I am at, that is the resurrection. Come on, folks. If I'm there, that is the resurrection. Jesus said, if I'm there, I'm the resurrection. The truth and the life. Tonight, where is God? Is God in his people? Is God in the midst of his people? Didn't he say where two or three are gathered together in his name, he'd be in the midst of us? Isn't God here tonight? Isn't the resurrection of God here tonight? Isn't Christ here tonight? The resurrection. God is the resurrection. God is the spirit of life. It doesn't matter where God's at. There's no time element involved with God. There is no time element involved with God. God isn't waiting for a certain time. We say, Brother Pike, there's going to come a certain time. Thessalonians change is going to take place. And the dead in Christ is going to rise up and we're going to see the resurrection. God isn't waiting for that. God doesn't have to wait for that. Somebody said, well, it's just that certain time, Brother Pike, and we just have to keep waiting. Where do you get that? The only thing God's waiting on is you and I. He's waiting on Brother Pike. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on us. God isn't waiting on any time limit. With God, folks, there is no such thing as time. Hallelujah. There is no such thing as time. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. There ain't no such thing as time with God. So then, what is God waiting on? If God's waiting on a certain time, then tell me this, why did he translate Enoch that he should not see death? Come on. Somebody said, well, you understand, Brother Pike, that was Enoch. But the Bible said God is no respect to person. God is no respect to person. If God translated Enoch and God wouldn't translate me, then God would be a respect to person. Somebody said, well, bless God, he did it, Brother Pike. No, he didn't. The Bible said, for God hath translated us, you and I, into the marvelous kingdom of our God. If he'd have done it for Enoch and wouldn't have done it for me, it'd have been a respect to person, wouldn't he? But God translated Enoch that he should not see death. And God translated me that I should not see death. Tonight I don't have to see death. I'll never die. There's no possible way for me to die. because God translated me in the marvelous kingdom of the God of my God. So then we say, why do they put them in a casket? Why do they put them in a hole? Why does people still die, as we say? I'll tell you why. Jesus said, Lazarus sleepeth. They just looked at him with a holler expression. They knew Lazarus was dead. As far as the world was concerned, Lazarus was dead. And Jesus said, all right, I'll explain it to you. He said, Lazarus is dead. You say Lazarus is dead. He said, Lazarus is dead. You don't understand, he said. Seeing that you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you when I say Lazarus is sleeping, then I'll just upright say Lazarus is dead. See, I'll come down to your level. If that's what you want to call it, well, we'll let it be like that. But oh, my brother, sister, there's so much to learn. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from the terrestrial to the celestial. We're going to make the change into immortality. We shall not all sleep, he said. He didn't say anything about all dying. He said, we shall not all sleep. A man that is born of God cannot die. He's already passed from death unto life. He shall never come into condemnation. There is no death with him. He's already passed from death unto life. God is a spirit. God deals with your spirit. Your spirit on the inside by translation, by faith. It is translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Which kingdom is on the inside of you? Which kingdom is the mind of Christ? Which kingdom is the spirit of Christ? And the fullness of God within Christ. Christ within you. The hope of that glory of eternal life. My sheep know my voice. They hear me. They follow me. I give unto my sheep eternal life. Are you God's sheep tonight? Are you following God? Did God bring you here? Are you looking for eternal life? Do you have eternal life? Do you know Christ? Have you ever become acquainted with him? So then, that spiritual being on the inside, we're speaking of him. The Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. It don't profit nothing. That little pretty face of yours don't profit nothing. One day it'll swivel up like a prune. All that pretty hair of yours, one day it'll come out or it'll be gone or something will happen to it. It don't mean nothing. That little body where you bounce around and weight lift and jog and build up the muscles don't mean nothing. The Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. Bodily exercise profited but little. See, all the sports, all the things of the world today. Hold on, folks, because you ain't going to like this, some of you. And you ain't going to like me as a preacher, but that's of the devil. Sports is of the devil. Ball games is of the devil. Frolics is of the devil. Non-virtuous TV movies are of the devil. Non-virtuous magazines, non-virtuous writings in newspapers are of the devil. All these frolics, dope, drinking, all of that's of the devil. Satan is the god of this world. Remember, you say, my heavenly Father is the god of this world. I beg your humble pardon. The Bible said that Lucifer is the god of this world. Even the prince of darkness who hath blinded the eyes of the people that they might not be able to see when good cometh. For the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Satan has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they can't comprehend the heights and depths of this great, wonderful mystery of Christ. God in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. Having given you the ministry of reconciliation, putting his spirit on the inside of you, telling you that you stand in Christ instead. You understand what I'm saying? So then God is a spirit, the great Father of spirits. What is God doing? He's ministering to your spirit. His words are spirit. His words are life. His words of spirit and life is coming into you. Think on it now. We're made to know in this world by the scientific means and the understanding of men that which they've searched out. A lot of things. We've come to understand a lot of things. And so some of those things I want to relate to you. One thing is that we understand that we are living creatures. Not by the act of creation. Not by God. Science falsely so called. But we understand that we are creation. Creatures. We have the cosmic light above us. From the cosmos, there comes a cosmic energy. And this cosmic energy coming down through the hypothalamus of our head, through the thalamus and the hypothalamus, moving down through the pituitary gland. This great energy that's coming down from the world above us, from the cosmos. We get this through electrical impulses. And one of these serves as a bumper to break down the great surge of that energy, that electrical force that comes in that keeps you alive in your body. Coming from the great day star, coming from the sun. Scientists say if the star failed to show the sun, that the whole world would freeze over. So then coming down from heaven, coming down from the cosmos, this energy comes into us, and every part of my body, every part of my body, from my kidneys, my liver, my ears, my eyes, they say there's 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. From my eyes, these things, every one of these parts of my body, every organic part, must have cosmic energy. It must have the cosmic energy. It comes down into us. It must have it. We are alive by vibrations. We're told that the kidneys have so many vibrations. The heart has so many vibrations that goes into the millions and billions of vibrations. And without the vibrations, this part will malfunction. If the vibrations is cut down on my heart, then my heart will malfunction. See, it doesn't matter how long you've been here, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you just come and you live a few years. Solomon said a few days and full of trouble. And then after that you die. And they say, we got to jog a little bit. We've got to press that iron a little bit. We've got to take the vitamins. We got to do all of these things, Brother Pike. And then after that, the best we can do is push about 70, 80 years. And the Bible said, and some will live longer by reason of strength. See, and somebody says, and Brother Pike, that's it. You just got to die. That's all it is to it, Brother Pike. You got to die. Folks, if that's right, I'd love to ask a question here at this point. If that's right, then tell me, why did Moses live as long as he did? Can you tell me why Methuselah lived as long as he did? I don't read where he jogged, and I don't read where he pressed iron, and I don't read anything about him participating in sports. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God for over 300 years, and he was not because God took him. Methuselah, 900 years he lived. Why didn't he die? If this body will wear out, why didn't it wear out? Why is it that it didn't wear out? If scientists is right, why doesn't the body wear out? Or why didn't it wear out? Why didn't it wear out? Old brother Noah lived 900 years. Why didn't his body wear out? If the body is not right, if God failed to make it right, if there's some shortcoming on God's part, and it's a bodily malfunctioning, and the body gives out, then why didn't their body give out? Folks, let's face it. There ain't no shortcoming with God. There ain't no shortcoming with God. It's not malfunctioning in the body. Scientists falsely so called, ever learning the old tree of knowledge, never coming to the understanding of truth. They never find the truth. They scientifically proved this year that there's something on the moon. Next year they scientifically proved they were wrong. Science, falsely so called. But the entire world is going after science. Look at it with Russia. Look at it with the surrounding parts of the world. You can't hardly get in behind the Iron Curtain. They lock you out. But brother, when it comes to sports, they rend the veil. They say, come on over. Russia, we might hate you and you might hate us. But boy, when it comes to this sports, let's get together. You know what it is? It's that old beast's body. It's that old beast's body. Are you listening to me? It's that old beast's body. That's what it is. That's where the problem is. Read it in the book of Revelation. When that beast come up out of the waters, what was that? It was the old beast's body. What was it made of? You know, the world has to have three things to thrive on. There are several things that it must have of necessity. It must have these things. It cannot survive unless it has these things. What are those things? One of those things is recreation. Is that right? One of those things are government. One of those things are religion. And you look at that old beast that come up out of the waters, where the Bible said it had to do with people. Look at it. What kind of thing is it? It's that old leopard body. Go back and check it out in history. And you'll find that your sports comes from the land of Greece and those places where Alexander the Great, through his Hellenistic religion, went down into the land there and brought that religion in, settled those places, and then died as a drunkard. Go back and look at it. Greece, the old leopard body. Sports, the old leopard body. Go back and look at it. And look at the feet. That same thing, that communistic power, that same thing that Russia has at the bear over there. The old communistic way of life, a government. See, sports, recreation, a government. Then look at that head of that lion, that thing over there that was called the mouth of a lion. What is it? It's the old Catholic teachings. That old thing that killed the martyrs in the Dark Age. The old Roman paganistic practices. Put all three of them together. Back in Daniel's day, it was the same thing. Put them together. What does it do? It makes up the world. There is a constitution of the government. There is a constitution of the government of recreation and religion. And all three of them is coming together. That's why that Pat Robertson is running for president, or contemplating running for president. We made a statement not too long ago that religion and government would come together. They've already started. You understand what I'm saying? Those three things are coming together. What is it? It's the beast. The Bible said, in these that are without a beast. And the Bible said some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. They're beast. Those things are beast. And they're constituting that great beast body. And the world loves its own. And they're all going to come together. They'll come together on sports when they won't come together on nothing else. Sports is making it up. See, people, they get disturbed. I noticed the number of our people here on the front went out tonight. I don't know, maybe some of them had to go to work. But sometimes they go out because they're involved in sports. They're involved in the world. And all they've got is a religious conviction. They don't have God. They don't have the Spirit of God. They love the world. And the Bible said the love of the world, if it's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. To come out from among them and be our separate people. It's sad to think that the church world today, the church of God, the assemblies of God, the holiness churches of today, it's bad enough to think that the Baptists, the Methodists, the others would do it. But when you come to the holiness churches, it's absolutely unbelievable to think that they'd have a ball team. Do you think that Jesus Christ would have played on a ball team? Do you read anywhere in the Bible where Christ ever recommended that you have a ball team? Is the ball team of God? Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. Is playing ball being spiritual? Is that being spiritual? Is the ball game of God? Is the ball game spiritual? Is it edifying to Christ? Is dressing out in shorts, jumping hurdles, running up and down like some silly little boy, some grown man. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean the beasts are getting together. Brother, it doesn't matter whether it's in religion. It doesn't matter whether it's in the government.
It doesn't matter what it is. They're getting together. They are getting together. And they're going to reject everything that doesn't go along with them. I tell you in the name of the Lord, and you listen at me, I tell you as one sent from God, if you indulge in ball games, you are going to hell. You say, Brother Pike, I said if you indulge in ball games, you're going to hell. Those things are of the devil. I don't care whether a preacher gets in there or whether the holiness people get in there or whoever gets in there, it's wallowing in the mire. I told this a number of times, and I want to tell it again tonight. I had a vision. And in this vision, I'll never forget. It was a soul-staring vision. We've had a lot of visions in our lifetime. I had a vision. And in this vision, I was walking down the road. All of a sudden, there came up a great thing, like an entombment, that reminded me of a huge plane without wings. It just jumped up on the sidewalk there, right next to it. And it was a great embodiment. And the door came open, and something just said, shoo, like that. And I found myself on the inside of it, and the door shut back, and there wasn't any openings. There wasn't any door, and I was terrified. I was standing on the inside as I stood there. I looked and I thought, my God, I'm walled in. I can't get out of this thing. You know, claustrophobia can get a hold of you. And I stood there and I thought, my God, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And I stood there. And as I stood there, to my utter amazement, I found there was other people in there. I noticed the woman. I saw her coming. She walked like this. She walked like a zombie. Just like a zombie she walked. And I believe one of them had a little baby in their arm or hand, walking like a zombie. And I thought, well, my, this is like the living dead. As a matter of fact, I saw a little sign over here tonight. It said, the living dead, they're back again to party. And I looked, and this woman walked by. And I saw somebody walk by. Yeah, and I don't remember how many of them they walked by. I said, oh, my God, they're lifeless. They're lifeless. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. I thought, my God, what is this? And they were walking into hell. They were walking into hell. They were dead, Jesus said, twice dead. And plucked up by the roots, he that lives in sins and trespasses, he is dead, twice dead, Jesus said, if he comes to the knowledge of God and rejects it. Plucked up by the root. And I saw them walking. I thought, they're going to hell. They're going to hell. That's what's happening. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And all of a sudden, after God showed me this, the door opened. And I went out of that entombment, and I was singing. I wrote a song. Sometimes they sing it at church. But I went out of that entombment, and in that vision, he gave me a song. And I stood on the outside, and I was saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't stop saying it. I'm walking along down the street. Thank you, Lord. He said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, there's an inner man. And that inner man is the life of this body. And when that inner man leaves, the body's dead. It don't do nothing. It profiteth nothing. Go up to the funeral home. You'll see it laying there. Doesn't matter if it's great, educated, money, preacher, priest, whatever it is. When he lays down, that body's dead without that spirit. And at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. So then, death. It's when your spirit separates from the spirit of life, even God. But sleep is altogether different. Sleep is when your spirit separates from your body. And your body lays down in the grave. And someday you'll come back with God and pick that body up. If it's the right kind of thing. There'll be a resurrection both of the just and the unjust. But the wicked God will have to pick up and stand before the great white throne of judgment while you'll come back and pick your body up to have it forever. You that are alive, the Bible said all of you don't have to sleep. I show you a mystery. There's going to come a message. There's going to come a message in the land. And though the devil's going to wear out the saints of God with all of his ritualistics, IRS, taxes, education, everything, sports. But then there's going to come a move of God. There's going to come an understanding of God. There's going to come a message of God. And those beat down saints are going to rise up. The Bible said, and take the kingdoms. I tell you again, not the kingdom of God. You've already got that on the inside of you. But Revelation 11:15 said, and the trumpet sound, the mysteries are finished. And it said, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. You understand what I'm saying? So then, we are saints of God. We don't need what the world has. We don't need what the world has. God will take care of us. In the wilderness, they didn't even have as much as a college. They didn't have as much as a school. But the Bible said all of them were of a good understanding. God built a commonwealth. God built a great place. The Bible said their feet never swelled and their clothes never waxed old. What kind of world is this today? What kind of thing have you got that can make that do that? God is with us, folks. We're God's people. It's high time that we come out of the world, that we separated ourselves from the world, that we got together as God's people, that we begin to educate ourselves in the things of God and get away from that old tree of knowledge out there. It's crumbling. John said, I saw the cities of the nations fall. The whole world is crumbling to the ground. Earthquakes everywhere. So then the system is coming down out there. What should we do? Get out of it. If you belong to church, if you can't get them to change the thing, get away from it. If they're going to condone ball games, frolics, and follow after the things of this world, then you get away from it. You stay away from it. Get out of it. Come out from among them. Or be man enough, woman enough, to have the perseverance and the intestinal fortitude. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. Would somebody stand up in the audience? And would you stand up and look at Brother Pike? After what you've heard, what you're doing? And say, Brother Pike, I believe ball games is of God. Or if I gave you a chance to stand, would you stand up and say, Brother Pike, there's one thing about it, I might not understand the situation, but I know for sure that God didn't instigate ball games. Ball games ain't of God. So then, if it's not of God, it's of the world. If it's of the world, then the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. So if you've got love of ball games, you don't have God. God don't mix with ball games. God don't live in a heart where ball games are. Come on, folks. You may get mad. You may run back. You may say things. You may cut Brother Pike down. You might do it. But there's one thing about it. It's the gospel. I'll meet you at the great white throne of judgment. I'll be standing there when you bring forth your strong reasons. I'll be standing there when your pastor's there. I'll be standing there when Elvis Presley's there. I'll be standing there when all the great ball game leaders will be there. When the great mighty Babe Ruth will be there. I'll be there when Hank will be there. I'll be there when the others are there. Your favorite stars. I'll be there when all of your singers and rock and roll singers are there. I'll be there when the preachers that allowed that to go in the church will be there. Come on, folks! You're going to be there too. Hallelujah. I'll be there! I'll be there to give an account for preaching the gospel. They'll tell God what they preached, as to whether it was ideas or it was the Word of God. And I'll tell God what I preached, as to whether it was ideas or the Word of God. And we'll all be there. Can you say amen? So then, what should Brother Pike do tonight? Knowing that I'm judgment bound. Knowing that you're judgment bound. Knowing that we've got to go before God. I tell you the truth and lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that these things I tell you are the truth. Without holiness, no man is going to see God. God is the Spirit of holiness. You can call your church what you want to. You can put any kind of tag on it you want to. You can be twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You can have a name that you live when you're dead. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is the Spirit of holiness, you're not going to get into the kingdom of God. This thing is not something that you just sit around and wait for. Like somebody says in Thessalonians change, Paul speaks of the coming. You don't just go to the church and join the church and say, I'm a believer. And sit around and wait for this thing to happen. This is an innermost release of a translation where your spirit, by Christ the Spirit, hid from the world. It's translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And from that inner spirit, this well of living water springs out. And God, a little by little, transformates you until you get like Moses, Elijah, get like Jesus, get like Stephen, when their face was illuminated as this great light and this great glory broke from within into their blood genetics, coming forth. I appreciate you being patient. There's a lot of things I like to say. And maybe I've took a little long tonight. But listen, folks. I want to go to heaven, don't you? I want to be like Christ, don't you? I don't want to spend my life in some religious rut and then die and go to hell. If I'm not going to live for God, then I need to be out yonder with the world. I need to be doing the things of the world. If I've got my mind on my body, on my faith, if I've got my mind on money and prestige, fame and popularity, position of the world, then I need to get out yonder with the world. I don't need to clutter up God's house. I don't need to stand at the door, half-hearted, a religious hypocrite, and won't go in and hinder everybody else. I need to swing the door open wide. I need to tell the truth. Jesus said, I'm the door. He's the Word. I've opened the door to you. There's a door open in heaven. John said, I saw a door open in heaven. That veil was rent at Calvary. Peter got the keys. A few years later, John said, the door is open. And we have a way to go in, folks. We have a way to go in. It's up to you and I. It's up to you and I tonight. I want you to stand with me. Jesus said, ye are gods. Ye are gods. But ye shall die like men from the lack of knowledge. I drink this water, hot, get thirsty. And I think what it would be like to be in hell. One drop of water. I've often thought that God has made it to where there's plenty of water in the earth as a rule, most places, because it's going to be so horrible without water. Without water. Most people will drink Cokes, milkshake, just about everything that we can think of. Don't drink much water. But if you was in hell, if you was in hell, one drop of water, one drop of water. You say, Brother Pike, you preach to us like we're a bunch of ignoramuses. I don't believe that. You preach to us like we're a bunch of dirty pigs. I don't believe that. You preach to us, Brother Pike, like we're just common folks and need to repent of our sins. Yes and no. Some of you are. But see, I preach to you like this. The Bible said, lift up your voice, preacher. Lift it up like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. Come on, folks. He didn't say the sinners. He didn't say them that was without. Show my people of their transgressions. Show my people of their shortcomings. Wasn't that what he said? Show them of the shortcomings. Do you have any shortcomings tonight? Do you have any shortcomings tonight? Yes, well, Brother Pike, everybody does. But the Bible said, go on to be perfect. Let us go on to a full reward. The Bible said, quit laying the foundation of repentance over and over. Let us go on into perfection. To be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Isn't that Bible? Everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master. So tonight, wouldn't you like to accept your Godship? How do I do that, Brother Pike? Come to the understanding that you can't die. Now listen. Jesus said, why do you want to stone me? He said, I've done a lot of good things for you. He said, for that we don't want to stone you. He said, but then you start talking about being a God. And you start talking about being a God. Folks, we're glad you prayed. Glad somebody got healed. The saints of God can pray the prayer of faith and these signs will follow them that believe. He said, but now you start talking about being a God. You being a man, make yourself God. No, I didn't make myself God. He made me that. I said, He made me that. I believe what the Word said, and that's what makes you God. To as many as believe, to them gave He the power. Believing is power. It brings the Spirit, which is power. To as many as believe, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, to save themselves from the unward generation. So then you can believe. You can become a son of God. You can become a God. You say that I blaspheme because I say I'm the Son of God. I've said this many times. I want to repeat it tonight. When a little cat brings forth her kittens, you expect to see cats. You could never expect to see dogs. You expect to see cats, don't you? When the little dog brings forth the pups, you don't go expecting to see cats, do you? You go expecting to see pups. When a human being brings forth a little son or daughter, you don't go out there expecting to see a pig, do you? You go to expecting to see a human being. Folks, when God brings forth His sons and daughters, you don't go out there to see human beings. You go out there to see gods. Gods beget gods. Dogs beget dogs. Cats beget cats. Human beings beget human beings. But when you're born again and you're born of the Spirit, you're born of God, then you're gods. You're gods, and gods cannot die. And gods cannot sin. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me I can't sin? This is not a hope so salvation. This is not something that just breaches over to the next revival. Folks, the Bible said he that is born of God, he cannot sin. It didn't say he might not sin, that he'd backslide on God, he'd do all these other things. It said he cannot sin. The seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. It is God that justified him. It is God's works that saved him. It is the faith of Christ that sanctified him. I thought, I said, well, I know a lot of Christians, Brother Pike, that lost out. You've never seen a Christian lose out. Somebody said, I know that they were a devout person. Perhaps they were. But the Bible said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest. They were not of us. That's why they went out from us to start with. If they'd have been of us, they'd have not went out there. You love the Lord? The Bible said, preach the word. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. I'm telling you God's word tonight. Let's sing a little chorus together, folks. I appreciate you as a good listening audience. And what we've had to say to you is the truth. When pangs of death seize o'er my soul, unto the Lord I cry. For Jesus to come and make me whole, I would not. Come on, folks, sing it for the glory of God. I would not be denied. I would not be denied till Jesus came and made me whole. I would sing it again. I would not be denied.